Golf Smarter Premium number 477, published on February 24, 2015. Forget clubs. Let's talk about golf accessories with Matt Zarrilla.
This is Golf Smarter.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter podcast, Matt.
Hey, Fred.
How you doing, buddy?
Not bad. Can't complain.
I love that right from the start. I love the can't complain part. Too many people have too many complaints, and I don't care. So, you've been in the golf industry for quite a while, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. 29 years. I started at a very young age, at 25, representing some pretty major brands. And one was Daiwa Golf Company, and which started in 1983. And as an independent contractor, I was able to also represent at the same time Reebok and Greg Norman. So at a young age, I was able to basically jump in the pool with both feet, and it's been a great ride already. You know, a lot of changes in the industry, and you know, create a lot of friends and a lot of experience. So
yeah, and
we're very fortunate to last this long in this industry.
Yeah, well, part of the changes that you've witnessed is what I want to talk about too. That's really interesting to me. But before you became a manufacturer rep, right? That's what you are, manufacturer rep?
Yep, okay. Representative.
Representative. Oh, like golf pros don't want to be called golf pros. They want to be called golf professionals. So you don't want to be called a rep. You're going to be a representative. Fine. We got the lingo down. Mm-hmm. But before you were doing that, you were a competitive golfer?
Yeah, I was. I was fortunate to be a member at Lake Merced Golf and Country Club in Daly City, San Francisco Bay Area. And Woody Wright was my coach and pro. And it was that's how I got in the game. I love game. I played college golf for 2 years. I had a full scholarship to University of San Francisco.
Nice.
But I got hurt, so I couldn't play. And I basically took me out of the game for 2 years. And I'm in my early 20s, and I couldn't. My career just kind of stopped. But I wanted to stay in the industry, and I was actually was on staff with Daiwa at a time because I was going to go professional, and all this tragedy type with my, this accident that I had, took me out of the competitive end of it, and I wanted to concentrate on making it a career on the other side, and I knew that the company that I was representing was a very innovative Japanese company that specialized in making graphite shafts, and I knew that was the future with lightweight, low torquing shafts that will improve your average golfer to your touring professionals. And basically, I got in at the right time. I saw a future in it, and I wanted to be a part of that growth. And I made a hell of a living doing it. I still am, and making those kind of decisions. And Daiwa took off. They were the number one graphite iron in sales in the world, or at least in the United States. You know, they're the number one graphite iron. We had Ian Baker Finch, Dan Forsman. You know, we had some good players, representing it. So it was on our way. So that's how it kind of all started.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So you, let's talk about what different products and lines that you represent now.
Kind of starting into what I'm doing now, I was, a club rep, like I said, for years after Daiwa. I went to McGregor and then on to Wilson. And, as the club business is the state of the industry in the club hard good category is definitely declining, and it's just owned by, maybe four or five, companies. So now I'm an accessory rep, to answer your question.
Oh.
I mean, I handle companies like Ogio International. I've been with them, I think, 5 years. They're the last 3 years in a row that they had 30% growth. So they're reinvesting into the tour by, signing Aaron Baddeley, Kevin Streelman, Chris Stroud to apparel contracts, which is very exciting. So they're up and coming.
Ogio does clothes?
Being an independent contractor, I'm to also represent. Yeah. Absolutely.
I didn't know that.
One of my one golf pro in the East Bay, he emailed me and he saw Aaron Baddeley on Friday, and when he was missing the cut, sorry, Aaron, was wearing one of our cool looking orange and brown shirts. So he wanted to get one personal use. So yeah, and Kevin Streelman and I believe won a tournament wearing our apparel last year. In fact, made 7 birdies in a row to close out the tournament on a Sunday. Right. That's never been done before. So he was wearing Ogio. And so,
and that's why he made 7 birdies in a row, because he was wearing Ogio.
Well, it's always the arrow, never the Indian. So with the equipment, so just
absolutely,
your listener, you can't blame yourself. You always gotta blame the equipment, good or bad, So, yeah, that was a big bump. So that's, all my lines I treat, equally the same. I don't favor one brand over another brand, but they're non-competing against each other. That's why I'm able to represent the other brands. And I'm fortunate enough to be with Golf Buddy, which is a GPS company, rangefinder company. And my other line is Click Gear Carts, and which has one of the top-selling full size speed cart that you can collapse into a Porsche Boxer with your golf club. So it's another hotline. I'm very fortunate to have those three alone.
Yeah.
Then on top of that, I have an up and coming ball company called Volvic, which is the number one color ball on tour. And
that's Volik.
Yeah, it's a global brand. It's a Korean company. Actually, is number one market share in Korea. They sell more than Titleist over in Korea.
Wow.
And they're number three in Japan, and we're the fastest growing ball in the United States ever seen. We're in not even 2 years, we were able to gain 2% market share, where you take companies like Strixon I was paying attention at our sales meeting in Orlando. It took them 9 years to get 1%. It took, I believe, Bridgestone, I don't know if I'm correct on this, but I think that they said it was like 7 years for 1% when they started out. They started off real slow, and they have a pretty good market share now. Hmm. So, number two ball on the LPGA Tour in earnings last year, and also in balls played per round, last year, according to Daryl's survey. So that's an up and coming line. So it's, those four alone companies, and I have another company called Rife Golf, which is J.B. Holmes put a putter in play on
Tuesday. They're putters, right?
Yeah, they're putters. Yeah. J.B. Holmes almost won the San Diego Open or the Farmers. The tour rep with Rife got him to try one on Tuesday before the round, and you can edit that. He took out, he almost won the tournament, by just putting the putter in play. And he did well at AT&T, and he did pretty good at the LA Open. And, so it's kind of, that's kind of exciting too. So,
very exciting.
Yeah. And, so it's a, being an independent contractor, you go from, being a traditional club representative, because it's, what I kind of like to do in the hard goods, but the business is changed. The typical, what we call green grass country club pro shops, really are not too interested in doing a lot of club business, or spending the money to inventory a lot of equipment, because it gets expensive. And
sit there, right?
Well, they not sit there. They just, the major OEMs, they change their business, their models like every 6 months. Mm-hmm. Not everyone, but we know the brands that were going kind of crazy the last couple seasons with introducing, it seems like, drivers every 3 months.
Yeah.
And I think some of the manufacturers are kind of cutting back the turning cycles on their launches on new models, and it's just kind of gotten out of hand. So And I think it just frustrated the small merchandiser. I mean, there's, you know, as far as, you know, the smaller pro shops on Greengrass, they just, you know, are not inventorying a lot of this product. You know, it's more special orders. So what do you do as a sales rep? You know, you kind of, you know, being that I want to be an independent and not be, you know, a company employee, I chose to, you know, source out brands that I've been with quite a while. So I saw this happening. Oh God, I saw this happening 15 years ago. That the business model, you know, in the golf industry has definitely changed drastically how it used to be, you know, from the mid 80s or early 80s or mid 70s, late 70s, where the consumer went to their local pro, and you know, the local pro will do some sort of a fitting, but it was just, that's where you bought pro line golf equipment, was in pro shops. And you know, the, you know, I mean, there's something out with Barney Adams that had an article out in GolfWorks that was talking about where, you know, there was a big, I don't know how you say it, but, you know, kind of a deal with these major club companies where they would only sell to pro shops only, but then the retailer got involved with some kind of law, you know, where they have to sell the pro line equipment to you know, to the brick and mortar type of, you know, and then the whole market kind of exploded, and that's how, you know, things are kind of where they're at right now with as far as the hard goods. So that's what's kind of going on.
So you don't
right
deal with
equipment.
You don't deal with the public as far as
no.
product. You're what they used to call the middleman. I don't know if that term exists in the internet world anymore, or they're dying everywhere because people are buying online. But you're selling. You mentioned Greengrass, so that means golf courses. I mean,
yeah,
I'm trying to cut through the industry speak to try to figure out what you're talking about.
Well, okay, yeah. It basically what I do is, like, I am the middleman. You know, I'm a manufacturer's rep. I call on and I solicit, you know, the PGA professional and all the independent retailers, and also the bigger retailers, the managers of the independent off course facilities. So I'm calling on everybody that makes a decision stocking pro line equipment.
I see.
You know,
I see.
And that includes. And I do service the real big, you know, kind of superstores that are out there that, you know, with training seminars on how to kind of fit or just train staff on, you know, how to use the new models that I'm, you know, selling.
What about on demo days? A lot of courses, like out in Sacramento, Hagen Oaks has probably the biggest demo day of any place on the West Coast, as far as I know. Do you deal with the public at that point, or how does that work for you and getting people to see your product?
Yeah, I deal with select accounts where I you know, volunteer my time and energy to you know, get in front of the consumer and be able to present my lines and help support the account, and you know, deal directly to a consumer and lead them into the shop to possibly purchase the product that I'm representing.
Well, of the lines that you have, you mentioned, so OGO, I carry an OGO bag. I travel with my OGO case.
Right.
And I actually have an OGO suitcase and an OGO backpack. I love OGO. Yeah, I've always loved OGO.
You gotta put you on staff.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
You're in. We'll put you in our catalog. I love it.
definitely not. I've always really liked the OGO product, and I kind of like that it's, well, they do put their name big, but it's not like, I feel strange carrying a bag that would say Titleist, and I don't carry Titleist clubs, right? Or I feel weird playing, if I'm playing with Mizuno clubs, I don't want to carry a Callaway bag, right?
That's a great point. And it's funny when I see seasonal accounts up in Tahoe and Reno, and I have, they sell the Ogio product and there's nothing left at the end of the season, sometime in October. Hmm. But what I see really is a lot of big name brands. I'm not going to mention them on, you know, on this podcast, but you know the companies, and they're just for that just general reason, if you're playing Ping, Mizuno, or Titleist, you know, having an Ogio or even a Sun Mountain bag.
Right.
You know, I mean, they make good product also, and you don't have no allegiance or any allegiance to a particular brand. You don't want to be a billboard, and I'm the same way. Mm-hmm. If I'm playing, you know, Ping irons, I certainly don't want to put them in a Titleist bag, but I don't mind putting them in an Ogio bag,
right?
Or Sun Mountain bag,
right? No, if I'm going to have a product name on my stuff, I hate to even think of it this way, but I'm a brand, so right. I'm, you know, I'll put Golf Smarter on it. That to me is what I want. That's what I want people to see.
Yeah, Ogio has. You know, they have some bags that people like, a cool brand. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, Ogio is an adrenaline-driven company. That's their tagline. And you know, they buy the backpacks.
You said an adrenaline-driven company?
That's the tagline.
Awesome.
They're
that's
great. Adrenaline-driven company. And so we're kind of be cutting edge, different, you know, very colorful and fun and, you know, all that cool stuff. I mean, they really think their product line through. And there's consumers out there want that Ogio name on there. I know a lot of the reps around the country on certain models, we don't want the big, you know, logo on there. There's a, so they kind of tailored their, you know, their type of model on some certain categories in the golf bag line where it's not as, you know, big, prevalent, out there in your face type of logo. And, you know, because I'm selling to the best facilities in the world.
Yeah.
Like Pebble Beach and San Francisco Golf Club and, you know, Lake Merced. I mean, you name all the courses that our brand is in, and they want to have their logo featured. But they want, I think the end user still wants to know that it is an Ogio bag, so there's a little logo on there, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, for just bragging rights of like, hey, you know, this is Cordoval logo, but, you know, it's also on an Ogio bag, so it makes it even better, I think, to the end user. You know, in my opinion, they want, you know, they want that logo on there, but they don't want it so big.
Right, right. And do you ever have to deal with the touring pros or try to get product in their hands? I mean, you rarely see a bag being, well, you know, you really don't see the bags that much because that's usually the caddy's job. So the cameras are not focused on the caddies or the bags.
That's a good point. The reason why Ogio is getting in the apparel because and signing tour players because they're wearing the apparel. So
mm-hmm.
Ogio is reinvesting their profits every season, the last three seasons, or going on our fourth season, into a tour staff that is wearing something with Ogio, which includes Kevin Streelman, Chris Stroud, and Aaron Baddeley. And because they're contracted with their club companies like Wilson Staff and I believe TaylorMade or I don't know what Chris is on staff with. I know Aaron Baddeley is on Adams staff. So they're obligated to carry those bags. But, you know, we give them travel covers, but you can't on TV. So next for us to get in front of the consumer is to, you know, outfit them with some very cool looking gear. With Ogio, and they see that. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, what we want to kind of grow and need to be in, you know, to have some kind of relevancy and, you know, in the golf industry, because it's all kind of predicated on, you know, who's wearing what putter they're using, what irons that are playing, what driver they're hitting. Consumers just eat that up. So we need to be in that game. And the only way to do it is with apparel. And that's why we have, you know, those three top flight players on our staff.
And does that hurt you that, like the products that you're talking about, Golf Buddy, Click Gear, you know, some of these are not the bigger names that you're going to see. And for some, I'm not caught up in, I try not to be caught up in this, but the stuff that the tour players are using seems to get the most attention, or is that just because the marketing dollars are behind that?
Well, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, the companies I rep don't conflict. They're not competing, you know, brands, but they all serve a purpose to, you know, improve your game of golf. I know, like, you know, like a brand like Ogio, they make great golf bags, and, you know, we want to stay in touch with, you know, being out in front of people with, you know, and you need to invest into, you know, like get, you know, start, you know, starting apparel. That this is in, I believe, our ninth season. I mean, or four, you know, we have two deliveries every year. So that's 4.5 years. And the business is growing, and, you know, you need to invest into, you know, into the tour to, you know, like I mentioned, to be prevalent or whatever into the, you know, into the consumer's eyes, you know, that we're out there, you know, mm-hmm. you know, they're seeing it on TV and they want to go in stores and buy it.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's why where my other companies that I rep, they have their own, you know, market share, like Golf Buddy GPS. We're on our 10th anniversary now, 10 years in the United States. And, you know, we're the number one GPS in the world. Now, we might not be one here in the United States, but Europe and overseas, you know, we got tons of market share. And with our launches in Orlando, you know, we're you know, we have, you know, a very, very good business model, you know, going forward. So it's, you know, that's something that, you know, it's a rangefinder company. You know, mm-hmm. we help people, actually will definitely help speed up play because they don't have to look for, you know, the sprinkler heads where they, you know, find how far they are to the hole. They'll have it right there on their wrist, or they have it. We have a device called the Golf Buddy Voice or the VS4, which actually you can wear it on your hat and hit the button. It looks like having your own caddy and tells you how far you are to the front, center, and back of the green. So that's, you know, that's something that, you know, is very important to golf. That type of category, the GPS, is definitely relevant to every shop that I call on because yeah. – It speeds up play for any type of level of player. That's going to help them, you know, score better, make better decisions. And I think it's more important to the buyer that you know, this is what the consumer is asking for versus, you know, a new TaylorMade driver or a new Callaway driver.
Well, it's going to sound awfully contrived, but the products that you listed that you rep, I've already told you what I think of Ogio. Golf Buddy, I jumped on Golf Buddy when they first hit the marketplace because I didn't want to pay a monthly fee to be able to walk on and only have 8 or 9 courses in my GPS. I love GPS. I think GPS mm-hmm. is a phenomenal thing. I think it speeds up the pace of play. I think it helps every golfer feel more confident about how they're playing, which to me, is, you know, confidence is so important when you're playing. But Golf Buddy, the main company, the big company in the United States that spends a lot of money on advertising, and they're all over the Golf Channel and stuff. But you got to pay a monthly fee, and you've got to, you know. So I struggled with that. So I liked Golf Buddy from the very beginning.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I you talk to like some of the major retailers, the Hagen Oaks, the Golf Marts, the Roger Dunns, all the. The consumer events that I participate every year in, the consumer loves it just because of what you just said. You know, it's very accurate because we ground verified just about all our courses, and so it's very accurate. And there is no monthly fee. There's over 36,000 courses that are preloaded. You can go anywhere in the world and use it. Mm-hmm. And we have patents that. On our devices, which is called dynamic green view, which means is that when you don't hit the fairway, which about 99.9% of your listeners don't really do.
I don't.
I'm always in the rough. You know, either push it or hook it, and it's that green's rotating the Golf Buddy technology, it knows the position where you are on that hole, and the green actually rotates.
Wow.
To the angle that you're coming in from.
That's
huge. It
gives
you that front, center, and back. So if you're in the middle of the fairway and there's no bunker in the front of the green, you know, you have the front, center, and back. But let's say if you push it off to the right a little bit, now that bunker on the right of the green is there. Now you have to go over that bunker. You know, now you need to know how far it is over that bunker, and then, you know, where it is to the front of the green, to the middle, and to the back. And you need to find how deep the green is, and it's from the angle you're coming in on. And that's within a yard and a half. And it's amazing technology, and it's on every device, even our voice product, our handheld products, and our watches. And it's just great technology. And
mm-hmm. Well, fun. If I can continue down your list, I can talk about Click Gear too, because that's the push cart that I've been using for a long time.
Yeah,
the three wheel, because I drive a Prius, and it fits snugly in the back. I can put my cover over the back, and you can't tell. I've never seen any other push cart that compacts as well as this one does, and the wheels don't go flat.
Yeah, it's an amazing product, Kevin.
It Kimberly, really is.
The owner, Kevin Kimberly, the owner of the and founder of the company, was a mechanical engineer, and three of his golf buddies. There you go. Not the thing.
Oops.
golf friends or buddies or whatever. There you go. Here I go.
Dropping the names of the client again.
That was just coincidence.
Yeah. Right.
They were going on a golf trip, and they had a minivan, and they had 10 years ago the Sun Mountain Speed Cart, which is a great product.
Which is it's still sitting in my garage.
Right, and they couldn't take them because it took up all the room.
Right.
And, you know, Kevin being a mechanical engineer, he said, man, there's got to be a better way, you know, to be able to travel with a full-size speed cart that can compact down to nothing. And voila, you know, there's the Click Gear 1.0.
Yeah.
And it's been a really good ride. Now, not only that it doesn't take up all the space in your car, your garage, but now the colleges and high school teams are all on board. Did you know Stanford men's golf team used Click Gear all of last year? And Whoa. The winner of the individual title was Cameron. Forget his last name. He won the end, but, you know, using a Click Gear. It was on Golf Channel for 3 days in a row.
Wow.
The Duke women's team wins the national championship using Click Gear. And one of the players there, I don't know her name off the top of my head, but she won the individual title. So we had two national championships sporting the Click Gear. And there's a gal yesterday, the youngest player to win on the Cementia Tour. She was only 17. She's a junior in high school. And I saw her on the Golf Channel this morning using our Arctic White 3.5 Click Gear. You're seeing the Junior Ryder Cup team there over in Wales, the European team and the United States team using Click Gear. And we just signed 30 men's college NCAA teams, Division I teams using Click Gear. So what I'm saying is, it's not your dad's, you know, type of golf equipment anymore. You're getting 15, 16-year-olds, because they see all the other high schools or the top, you know, NCAA Division I schools, you know, pushing it. And what's happening is you don't have to carry your bag. It's like if the course is relatively flat, not really hilly, I played college golf, and some tournaments you had to play 36 holes, and you have that bag loaded down. It might be a rainy day, so you're carrying your umbrella, your rain gear, your golf balls, and that bag is now, what, 25 pounds? You do that over 8 miles, you're going to get fatigued, and you're going to lose shots because you're tired.
I didn't even know that the colleges allowed you to not carry the bag.
Yeah. The NCAA allowed... The NCAA, but we're allowing women for a few years because we had quite a few, you know, NCAA women's team use the cart, and last year, or was it what was last year? It was 2014 was the first year that the NCAA allowed the men to use the push carts, and you're seeing it, and we're just getting more schools, especially after when Stanford did really well in the NCAA championships. They it's something that a lot of the coaches were requesting carts, and I think we signed. I'm pretty sure I heard Oklahoma State, Michigan State, Iowa. There's just a bunch of schools. We have UCLA, USC women's team.
That's amazing.
The Symetra Tour players. Like the web.com. Is it the web.com? Yeah, web.com type of tour for the women. And they're allowed to use push carts, and they don't have to take caddies.
Yeah.
So they have to travel all the time. You know, they don't make a lot of money. They can't afford a caddy, and they need to, go to these tournaments from town to town. So, you have a full size speed car that you can put in a Porsche Boxer with a full set of clubs. So, you can travel with it.
Okay, but yeah. Now I need to ask you one more thing because I'm so curious, and nobody's been able to give me a real answer about this. About on ClickGear, the difference between the 3-wheel version and the 4-wheel version that recently came out, I guess came out a year or two ago. People are starting to use 4-wheel push carts. What's the difference?
Okay. Well,
I know the obvious difference between 2 wheels and 3 wheels. That one was was very obvious. It's like going from VHS to DVD. But is there that kind of difference when you go from a 3-wheel push cart and a 4-wheel one?
It depends on the 4-wheel cart. I mean,
I'm asking about the ClickGear one.
The ClickGear, we have the only 4-wheel speed cart in the world. Meaning the wheelbase on the rear wheels are as wide or even a little bit wider than our 3-wheel cart. And what that gives you is it's easier to push. Okay, so if you think about a smaller wheelbase, it's going to be harder to push. Like you see the little mini 4-wheel carts, they look like baby carriages out there. When you get a guy that's 6 foot tall having the original ones that came out, it looks ridiculous and it's crazy. It looks like he's pushing a little baby's carriage. You know, our 4-wheel a cart is a little more stable than our 3-wheel, and it's gonna push as easier or maybe even easier than our 3-wheel. It's more expensive, but as far as an engineering design, it just blows everybody out the water.
So I live in Northern California here, and I play like Indian Valley. I'm sure you're familiar. Mm-hmm. So the courses here, Indian Valley, Mira Vista, these courses are very hilly, San Geronimo. There's a lot of up and down and up and down. And you're like, sometimes you're struggling pushing up those hills. Is a 4-wheel easier there too? Or is it just
through thick
grass and wet and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it's ideal to have, with the real hilly courses, it is tough for a push cart or even a pull cart.
Pull carts are much harder on the hills. It's much easier to push it, I think.
I don't know. It's like we have one that's called the resort cart. It's the Model 6 that have two oversized wheels. I used it at – I played a club where I live at Green Valley Country Club in Fairfield here. And I was on Christmas Day. I gave my son – that actually wanted to play golf with me like the first time in 2 years. I gave him my 3-wheel cart, and I got to use our – resort cart, which is mainly a rental or for high-end resorts for the guests to use. And it had oversized wheels and it had a low center of gravity, so it never tipped over. You can adjust the saddle of the handle, so for whatever position you call. And it was easy to push like a 3-wheel, but going up the hills it was easier to pull. And so there's a couple holes that have some steep hills. I believe number 10 is like straight up the hill, and I think number 12 is a steep hill, and I had no problems getting that baby up the hill.
Interesting.
Yeah, and because I think it will roll over anything, and I wasn't really playing good that day, so I was always in the rough and the trees, and I was able to roll over all the rocks and the branches, and it was nice. But yeah, cart, three-wheel, four-wheel, it doesn't have to be straight, really flat. You know, there could be some little hills that are not too hard, but if it's a real hilly course, I would probably recommend carrying your bag or taking a cart if it's that hilly.
No, I like to walk.
You
sorry
like to walk.
Yeah, oh
well,
yeah, I do.
Is the
four-wheel cart a little bit bigger when it's all folded up? Is it still going to fit well in my Prius?
It's about the same. It's just about maybe an inch bigger. It's amazing. I was demonstrating today at the Northern Cal PGA show up here, in Lincoln, California. And, the buyers were just loved it mm-hmm. because it you could put it in a small trunk of a car. And when you open it up, it's like a transformer. And it's like
it's its own theme song.
It's an amazing product. Yeah, it's amazing product. And your listeners should go online, go to clickgear.com and look for the Model 8. And it's a hell of a cart, so it's it retails at a $249.
Okay.
So it's a little bit more than our 3.5 that retails at $219. And but I think it's a hell of a cart. It's a little more stable. It has a double braking system. Both our carts in the 3.5 and Model 8, it has front wheel alignment. So most of your listeners that have a cart probably let the cart go down a hill a little bit, but sometimes they didn't direct it correctly and it hits a sprinkler or maybe a ball washer or a bench or a curb and the cart just falls over, and it takes the alignment out of the cart. But all our carts, you can fix the front wheel alignment. Mm-hmm. And, which makes life easy. It doesn't pull right or left if you just unloosen and tighten some of the screws on the front tires. So it's kind of a nice cart. It's kind of bulletproof. It is bulletproof.
Well, we're 35 minutes into this conversation, and now let's get into the reason why I brought you here today.
Yeah, I know.
That's fine. I love the education. I really appreciate you spending the time on that. What I wanted to ask you about was the PGA merchandise show. You and I have talked, and you've told me you've gone 29 years in a row.
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing. So you've seen them all. You've been to it over and over. You're probably going, yeah, I've seen it. Let's spend, if we can, about 10 minutes or so talking about what you saw at the PGA show that you thought was interesting. What you thought was really still we're doing that, or like you had mentioned earlier about the manufacturers are now just putting a new driver out every 6 months or 3 months or putting out something new. So let's start with what you thought was the best of what you saw at the 2015 merchandise show.
Man, I mean, there's a lot of new stuff that seems to be regurgitated year in, year out. Any break through technology. I really didn't see anything. I don't want to toot my own horn, but the Golf Buddy came out with a digital band that's a GPS for golf, front, center, and back. And
explain what digital band means.
Well, they're popular with Garmin has one for workouts. It's a pedometer built in, and it'll count your steps and how far you walk.
Really? I love that.
Yeah, it's very cool. You go on the website. It's the BB5, and you have you can wear it every day as a watch, and then you have your GPS technology, which is your measurement, your distance measurement device, which will give you the distance to the front of the green, to the middle of the green, to the back of the green, no matter where you are on that hole. And it also has dynamic green view. That received a lot of buzz at the show, so I was very fortunate to represent this new product. As far as equipment, I'm not in the loop with equipment because I'm not really selling woods and irons, but there are a couple putter companies that came out with adjustable lie angles, and you can actually come with weight kits. That's really nothing really new. The drivers and the shafts that are on the market right now, I mean, they're just getting better and better. Does that resonate to scoring lower? I don't think so personally. I think it's a lot of hype out there. I know the engineers spent a lot of money to get two more yards, and I'm sure it's worth it. But it's I have equipment personally that I had for 4 years that will outperform what that's coming out now, in my opinion. That's my opinion. I haven't had time to really work through, all the latest and greatest drivers, but I have hit them, and, I personally haven't really seen any kind of advantage, you know, to what I have right now. Maybe that's because it's just me, but you know, that's my honest opinion on drivers. You know, as far as irons go, they came down in the super game improvement category, which is nice. They're $1,200 sets. They're not, you know, $599, $699. That's great. You know, honestly, I haven't really seen any, you know, breakthrough technology in club head designs, or really, you know, there's that, you know, that core, USGA rule, the, you know, how much a club, face can rebound, you know, so you're kind of limited. But I, you know, did see, you know, the ball market, has definitely improved. You know, you're getting, you know, different types of technologies, and you're seeing a lot of color out there in golf balls. And I'm selling a lot of color golf balls, so I'm kind of being a little selfish here, but you're seeing more, it's true. I mean, you're seeing more color golf balls on tour right now. And so that's kind of changing the game a little bit, which
and
is kind
what,
of fun to be a part of.
And what is the difference between a white ball and a colored ball?
You know, it's just like,
you know,
tennis.
Because Titleist does not put out a Pro V1 that's in color. We had TJ on Gillen last week.
They do in Japan.
Oh, really?
They do overseas. Yeah, color is really big.
Yeah.
And you see a different lineup. I know Volvic's been doing it forever. I mean, they've been, I wouldn't say forever. It's a 30-plus-year-old company, but they have the technology to really color these balls where it doesn't come off the paint.
Mm-hmm.
And they have patents, you know, with their core technology. They're the first company. And this is what it really attracted me to represent this company, because they have something nobody else has, which is very, very innovative. They have the hardest core and the softest undercore than anybody in the world. They have 42 patents in 37 countries. So you're hearing a lot of soft core technology. Well, they have to go softer, and because we're the hardest. So we have the hardest core and the softest undercore. So we're totally opposite. And when a lot of the professionals or when golfers experience hitting this product, the ball, you compress it and it kind of sticks to the iron, and you just have that sense of control over that golf ball. And all the different models that we make with Volvic have different dimple patterns. So they have a, you know, their own design for that particular compression. And it's just an amazing product. It's the fastest growing ball in the United States. Like I said earlier, I have 2% market share, you know, in less than 2 years. And it's just, you know, starting to gain steam in the United States. But they're, you know, color, you can actually, you know, there's very popular on the LPGA Tour. As I mentioned, they're the number two ball. And you're now turning on the LPGA Tour event. You're seeing some of the players. And they're not even playing Volvic. I know Michelle Wiese is using a greenish-yellow ball from Nike. You've seen her sporting that. So, you know, we have three players on the Volvic staff that are in the top 30 world rankings. You know, one's using an orange ball, one's using a pink ball, and one's using a yellow ball, you know. And I think all three of them were playing in the group, like on Sunday in the last round. You'd even see a white ball in the last group in the championship. You all saw all these colored balls, and they're just stiffing shots left and right. It was pretty exciting. It was a pretty exciting tournament to watch, especially when you represent when you're a representative of the company. All you're seeing is pink, orange, and yellow golf balls on the green. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I know, yeah, I've had friends who've talked about only wanting to play with colored balls because it's just easier to see when they're in the air. They're easier to find, especially at this time of, well, if you're playing in the snow, forget it. But if, you know, out right now in Northern California, we've got great weather and the flowers are starting to bloom, and you've seen the little white flowers on the, you know, and it's always fine, or the sun's reflecting off of leaves. So it's easier to find those balls. Yeah. Especially when you spend
really
a lot
is.
Of time looking for balls.
And it's something that you can find, you know, just as you said, you can see it in the air longer, and definitely it's a huge advantage. And you know it's your ball on the green, because most of the golfers are still playing white balls. And if you're going to elevate a green, you know, yeah, that's my ball, because I'm the only one hitting that color,
right?
Too, which is kind of good. But you know, to get back on, the buzz down in Orlando. I mean, I thought it had the business sense had a little bit more buzz. You know, they said the attendance was up another 6%, which is a good sign. And the buying element, the feeling of buyers was kind of upbeat. You know, they're looking forward to the industry kind of trying to make a comeback. You know, I mean, it has been flat for a while, and it's slowly trying to come back. And but really nothing really to write home about, in my opinion. I know listeners don't want to hear that. I mean, what's the next best thing? I've always tried to keep an eye on what's out there and what could be good, what technologies that are. So I kind of keep a pulse on it.
You don't sound impressed.
You just have to go by. Yeah, I mean, I think I've done okay. I mean, you know, with, you know, being a club rep and being successful doing that and finding out, well, you know, I'm going to be out of a job or I got to get in another business because, you know, the club business is being eaten up by the TaylorMade and Callaways of the world. And, you know, they're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars, you know, to get the market share. And it's something that, you know, the smaller companies, like, you know, if you're not doing 140 million, you know, you might as well pack your bags, close the stores. That's what Adams Golf did.
Wow.
They couldn't compete, you know. They sold it to TaylorMade.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, company was that successful, still can't make a profit at $100 million. You know, it's time to kind of get out of the club business for
That's
me
amazing.
Personally, because I'll be starving. And, you know, yeah. I could take a job and, you know, as a club representative, and it'd be a nice job, but I'm just so used to being my own boss, and mm-hmm. and I'm very fortunate to have, you know, personally these great products to go out and sell, and the end user loves them, and so I can still, you know, make a living doing it, and offer some great technology
okay.
that helps any golfer.
So there is something that I find pretty interesting that is new, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. It just so happens that it's one of your lines. The OGO bag with the silencer on it. Tell me about that.
That is a really, really first-to-market technology. It's a club protection system, so it protects your clubs from banging and damaging each other while you're, you know, walking or when you're riding a cart or pushing a cart. And it makes the round a lot more enjoyable because you don't hear the clatter when you're driving or pushing your cart or carrying your bag. It's just a more enjoyable experience.
Does it add weight to the bag?
No. We have our cart bag that we just launched, our silencer cart bag, which is actually from the original model, which we called the Chamber, which had the silencer technology, it's like 6 to 7 pounds lighter.
Hmm.
So we're it's 5 pounds versus 11 pounds.
Wow!
And it's actually lighter than some of our carry bags.
That's amazing.
And so it's an amazing product, and we test it. I mean, we've had the technology. We had zero bags coming back with them. You know, when I demonstrated to a buyer or a golf pro or a consumer, I picked the bag upside down and with the clubs, full set of clubs in the bag, and none of them come out.
Whoa.
They never come out. In fact, I had a count, and you can verify it. It's Serrano Country Club in El Dorado Hills, a very nice private club. They had the original Chamber bag with that technology. They had it above the pro shop counter where people check in with a full set of clubs upside down. I freaked out. I said, if a club falls out and it hits and kills somebody, I am not responsible. Ojo's not responsible. And he says, no, nothing's come out. We're and there's like a glass case there.
That's
like,
amazing.
You guys nuts? And he said, no, this bag's amazing. But now we made it even better. So we had this technology for now 3 years.
Wow.
And now we're making them in real lightweight, ultra lightweight cart and stand bags. And it's been tested, and it's was introduced in Orlando, and it was a big hit. And
wow.
Actually, we had
That's great.
We had it in a block of ice. We had a it was the coolest thing I've ever seen, you know, featuring a new product introduction. So I guess you can say, did I see anything different? Yeah. It's something that I sell, and I never even mentioned it. Yeah, it was very cool. Very, very
You're
cool
trying
product.
Not to toot your horn. Well, it's interesting because I got into a conversation.
That, you know,
go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to find that next big club because I love to play golf. I mean, I'm always searching to improve my game. And I want to get something out there that's going to help me. And there's a lot of great product, and they're all good. You know, they're great products. There's really not a bad, you know, new product that's out there
that's good
that have these engineers that they do it. All they do every day is to make it easier to play. And, you know, you got to give them credit. The equipment out there is phenomenal out there.
Well, I'm going to break for a minute here to make a couple announcements. And when I come back, I want a little tip from you. And I don't know where we're going to go with this, but it's going to be a short one.
I'll try.
Okay. We'll be back in a minute. All right.
All right.
I hope he can come up with something. Thanks so much for your support and patience as we migrate over to our new premium access platform. If you're having any trouble at all getting logged in or taking advantage of the half price offer for the 6-month subscription with the checkout code GOLFSMARTERGIFT, that expires on March 13th, please let me know. Please, I want to do everything I can to help you make it work. Also, I want to make sure that you understand that these premium episodes cannot be found on iTunes anymore. Your members-only feed in iTunes is not being updated. So the way to get the newest premium episodes is either at golfsmarter.libsyn.com on your desktop or on your mobile device, and you can download those. Or from our app. And no, the Apple app is not available yet, but I'll let you know. I promise I'll let you know as soon as it's ready. Come to think of it, if you're listening to this, then I guess you've already figured it out. Duh. Okay. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, or you just want to slap me for being stupid, please email me. And also, if you haven't, take the short 5 multiple choice question survey. You can find it at golfsmarter.com or on today's blog post at golfsmarter.libsyn.com. All right, Matt, thanks for hanging on. I got into a conversation about the silencer bag with my friend Matty Blake. He's got this TV show on the Back Nine Network, and I was on with him. And after we finished recording, he was asking me about the silencer. He was telling me about the silencer bag, and he doesn't even like the idea of it because to him, the sound of the clubs clacking and clicking against each other while he's walking is like comfort food for him. It's a warm and fuzzy thing. And for me, I can't stand the noise. I want to hear the woodpeckers and the hawks flying over and the birds chirping. And I want to, you know, I mean, I don't need to hear metallic on metallic. I find it very distracting and annoying.
Yeah. I do too. I play forged irons, and forged is a soft carbon steel material that when you're even driving in the middle of the fairway, or if you're driving in the rough where you got tree roots and uneven lies, and you're bumping and jumping over these things, and you hear them banging, I scringe every time, and I kind of have to watch where I'm driving. You know, if I'm driving a cart, because I hate it. And it's hurting my equipment. It's not protecting my equipment, and I don't want to have to readjust my lie angles and my loft angles because they're getting out of whack. And it's something that, you know, for your listeners out there, I mean, you should have your lofts and lie check every year. And another good tip is that stainless steel that you get bent 2 degrees, it'll always go back to standard. So you got to always check those lie angles on your investment cast irons because they don't always stay 2 up or 2 flat. They always go back to standard because it has a memory.